1 Timothy chapter 2. If you came today without a Bible, as you can see, the guys would love to hand one to you. Simply raise your hand. You can see some of the scriptures behind us that we're hoping to get to through this study. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Today is also our communion Sunday. We'll partake of communion together, remembering what the Lord Jesus has done for all of us by giving his life for us. Struggling through a bit of a cold, so we're praying that the Lord will work through my voice. It may crack, it may crumble, but his word will not return void. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Better keep this open. As we always do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. God, I pray right now that you would just settle our hearts and minds into this time that you've given to us to study your word and how precious your word is. God, I pray that these words would come alive to us. As the Apostle Paul is writing to young Timothy, a leader in the church at Ephesus, to encourage him in the body of believers there, God, I pray that we would just take this letter personal, that we would read these words and take these instructions to heart, that we too would be men and women that love to pray and realize that it's prayer that brings us power. So God, we pray against distractions. We pray, God, that your spirit would have your way with us. But Lord, please, I pray, let our hearts be filled with excitement. Let our ears be open to hear your truth. And then, God, more importantly, let us live this truth. For your desire is for us to obey your word. So as we read it, let it come alive to us and let us take it personally. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, let all things be done decently and in order. Very short verse, but very powerful verse. See, in the church of God, in the house of God, things should be done decently and in order. God is a God of order. God is God who wants things to be done in a certain way. And he gives us instructions in the Bible to how to live our lives as Christians, how to live our lives as members of a church, and the things that we are to be doing. And so letting all things be done decently in order is a basic principle and conduct of the ministry of the church. And this is what Paul is writing to Timothy. See, there needs to be order in our services. There needs to be order, listen, in our lives. Order in our relationships. And basically order in all things that we do as Christians. Everything that we do should have some sense of order. And I don't know about you, but sometimes life seems a little chaotic. Sometimes life seems to get out of control. I call it, you know, the wheels have come off the track. It's like we've been derailed. It's like we've got to get back on the path that God has for us. And that is talking about order. See, apparently Timothy was having some problems in this church of Ephesus. Applying this principle to the assembly there at Ephesus. See, the public worship services were losing their order and effectiveness because both the men, listen, and the women of the church were disobeying the word of God. And that is something we cannot do as Christians. We must obey the word of God. Whether it's easy to obey or difficult to obey, we still need to obey what the word says. So it's our job as Christians to really search the scriptures and understand what the word is telling us to do. And we need to counteract the tendency, Paul exhorts Timothy and the men and women in this church and reminds them of their spiritual responsibilities. See, we as Christians, we have spiritual responsibilities, different from the world. Okay, we have responsibilities as Christians and as members of his church, and we're going to realize that we need to be praying fervently as Christians, and we also need to be living modestly. So the first section that Paul looks at, first he's going to address the men, then he's going to address the women, but both of these principles apply to both, and to really be men and women of prayer. And what we're going to learn today is everybody needs prayer. Everybody needs prayer, and everybody needs to be praying for someone. A person of prayer, someone that if we come to that place in realization that it is prayer that gets things happening, it is prayer that moves our hearts, it is prayer that God speaks to us, it is prayer that we give our petitions and our requests to God, it is prayer that is that communion, that conversation with God. And I know for some people it's like, well, I'm just uneasy praying. I don't know how to pray. I don't know the words to say. Listen, if you know how to talk, you know how to pray. You know, if you know how to get on Facebook and communicate all these things that are going on in your life, then you know how to pray. Because prayer is communication to God, a heartfelt talk, conversation with the Lord. It doesn't have to have special words. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, don't use special words. Even Jesus Christ said, there's no special words. The hypocrites use big words. We don't need to use big words. And I'm very thankful for that. I don't like big words. I like little words. I mean, when God, Jesus Christ says, let's come to me as little children don't know the big words. They just know, bless mommy, bless daddy, bless grandpa, bless grandma. That's all they, and you know what? I think God answers those prayers. I think those are the prayers that are truly heartfelt. Those are, because the words aren't getting in the way. And I want to ask you, how is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? How is it, how important is prayer to you? Because I think it's really Christianity 101, and we can talk, oh yeah, that's always want to pray, always want to pray. Listen, we have prayer meetings at the church. Not a lot of people show up. We have a fellowship lunch. Man, everybody hang around. And then, you know, we laugh at that. That's pretty sad. That truly, if we are going to be a people that want to see God move in our life, if we truly want to see God do something in our hearts, in our minds, and transform us, man, we better get on our knees and pray. And just really seek the Lord. Well, that's what we're going to look at over the next 2 weeks, because I've got 6 points that we're going to talk about. We're going to look at 3 of them today. But as Paul breaks apart this idea of what his heart is for this church in Ephesus that has got off the track, that's kind of doing things out of order, and he says the first thing you got to do is pray. The first thing you got to do is pray. And that's what we're going to look at. Look with me in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 8. And then we'll come back and talk about the first 2 verses this morning. And Paul says in verse 1, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Number one, the first thing we see, point number one when it comes to prayer for all and all for prayer, you know, all for one, one for all for prayer and all for prayer and prayer for all. That's what we're looking at. Number one is the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer is the first thing if you're taking notes. And then we see it right here in the beginning of the first verse. Therefore, I exhort first of all. Listen, there's a problem at Ephesus. Things aren't going as the church should be run. Things aren't going in the direction that they should be going. And Paul says the first thing, the priority, is prayer. Get on your knees, Timothy. Pray. Seek the Lord. Ask God to reveal the direction in your life. First of all, speaks of the priority. Before anything else, Paul wanted Timothy to know what was the most important thing. And listen, prayer was the most important thing. God bless you. Prayer. Guys, he exhorted him to pray. He encouraged him and desired him to make prayer a priority. Prayer needs to be the first thing you do before you do anything. I mean, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. The Bible says that we should be praying at all times. Why is prayer so important? Because without prayer, listen, there's no power in your life. Without prayer, there's no power in your life. No power to accomplish the works of God. No power to live a godly life if you're not praying. And we all struggle in this area. Let's not kid ourselves. There's probably a few people in here that are faithful people of prayer, that God has anointed them with the gift of prayer. They love to pray, and it's a joy. For others of us, it's like, God, help me to pray. I don't know about you, but when I begin to pray, I start out good. I say, Lord, you are so good. Lord, I just love you so much. And then before I know it, there's a shopping list of things I got to do for the day. And I'm like, whoa, I was just praying. Why am I thinking about all the things I've got to do today?
And it's like, we've got to find those times, and I know there's not a lot of time in our lives, but we've got to find those times where we can set apart a personal time of praying to God. And I think it needs to be the first thing in the morning. I truly do. And I know for many of us, we don't like mornings. But whenever you get up, if you get up at 11, God bless you. But if you get up at 11, start by praying. Start by prayer, seeking the Lord. It has to be important. This is a great saying. Much prayer, much power. No prayer, no power. I love that. I love that. Before you make any decision in your life, you got to pray. How many of us have made decisions in our past, have made choices without prayer and realized, oh man, I never asked God. I never got direction. Oh yeah, and after we get down the road, then now we're going to pray and ask God to bless. Which I think he will do. Let's not take God and put him in a box. He will bless, even though we forget to pray. But why not start fresh? Why not start first thing in the morning asking God, God, what do you want to do today? Where's Megan Alonzo? Is she in here today? She's. If you were here when she came back from YWAM, when she stood up here and said this one morning that her and her team prayed and they decided to play hide and seek with the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit moved in mighty ways, given these kids, these young adults, visions that the Holy Spirit would reveal to them throughout the day, that's a blessing. It blessed my heart to hear that. I'm like, yes, I want to play hide and seek with the Holy Spirit. I know it sounds weird, but... Because I don't think the Spirit wants to hide. I think the Holy Spirit's like, I'm over here. Come over here. Because that's what the Spirit wants to do. He wants us to listen to his voice and say, this is the direction I want you to go. This is what I want you to do today. Guys, God loves you so much. He wants to not only bless your day, he wants to use your life to bless your day. He loves you that much. You're important to God. You're precious to God. And he wants to reveal himself to you in such a great way. All you have to do is ask. Because I believe that God is revealing himself to us all the time. But because we're not praying, we're missing it. We're missing those opportunities. We're missing that person that has a need. We're missing that opportunity to reach out and say to someone, do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? I can see it in your face that you're down. What's going on in your life? You need Jesus in your life. You need hope in your life. All of our lives are tough. And if we would just ask the Holy Spirit to give us the boldness just to say to somebody, can I be praying for you? Is there something I can do for you? Listen, there's a lot of things we can be doing. There's a lot of places we can put our resources, our money, our time. But I want my time and my resources, listen, to go in a place that is going to be most effective. And the only person that knows how it's most effective is God. He knows. And I'm not saying we're going to waste our time, but why not, with the limited amount of time we have, why not ask God to make the time the most efficient and the most blessed? I mean, at the end of the day, we can say, wow, God really used me. And we have to ask. It has to be the first thing. And I go on. I said, before you make your decisions, you pray. Before you enter into marriage, pray. Before you apply for a new job, pray. Ask God. This will build a habit in your life of prayer. How many habits do we have in our lives? How many habits do you have? Many of them we wish we didn't have. But a prayer should become a habit. I don't know about you, but I get up in the morning, I'm looking for food. It's a habit I've started. I'm awake, I'm like, I need to eat something. Is it the banana, syrup, whatever it is. For many, it's coffee. Coffee. I mean, a habit. Man, wouldn't it be great if we woke up and said, oh, I need to pray. I need to spend time with the Lord. I need to spend time with the creator of the universe, the person who created me, who knitted me, who created me in his image. I get to spend time with him and talk to him. And it's not just a list of, I want this, I want that, I want this. God, what do you want? There's a balance. We can ask for things, and we'll see that in the next point. But God wants us to be a people that pray. Prayer will become a priority in your life when it becomes a habit and when you begin to see God answer your prayers. How many of us know that when God answers, man, we get all excited? Oh, wow, God answered that prayer. That's a beautiful. You know, we're getting ready to start this prayer ministry, this prayer chain type of thing on our website. And on this website, we want to make sure we have praises from God. Praise, you know, what do we call them? Pray, Praise reports. Thank you. Because it's not only important to be praying for the needs in the body. I don't like big words. I told you that. But not only are we to be sharing the prayer needs that we have as a ministry, and those of us who are called to pray and called to have the gift of prayer can be praying for those needs, but we also want to communicate this is what God did as we prayed. And this will be something we'll probably put in our bulletins as well, to encourage the body of Christ that God answers prayer. The problem is, you know, do you realize that God answers every single prayer? The problem is sometimes it's not what we want. He always answers prayer. Every prayer request becomes a praise report because it's God's will that gets done, not our own. And that's the hard part, is letting God truly be God, letting God truly give us what we want when he wants to give it to us, and not give us what we want when he doesn't want to give it to us. That's the importance. See, again, because this prayer time becomes a priority, because we begin to build a habit, listen, again, what happens? It's that transformation that happens in our mind because we start to think more godly because we're praying to a holy God. And did you also know prayer is an act of worship? Prayer is an act of worship. And we certainly love, I mean, I love when we come together and sing music and worship the Lord in music, and I think it's a very personal and intimate time. But to think about when I'm praying, it's that same kind of sense to God. Wow, he wants to spend time. God wants to spend time with you. So it's an act of worship. When you pray to God, you are worshiping God. And when you pray, you are inviting the Lord into your life. When I pray and when you pray, don't you feel like we change more than God? Don't you feel like we're the ones that move into God's will instead of us trying to get God into our will? It's like we move. In the midst of our prayer, when we're asking for something, I think the Holy Spirit reveals it. Sometimes that can be a very selfish prayer. And then we tack at the end of the prayer, God, your will be done. God, I would love this job. I would love this person to marry. But your will be done. Right at the end. Just to say, okay, that covers it. And then God's will gets done, and then we're like, darn it, I didn't get my prayer. That's God's. If we truly want, we should start out, God, your will be done, even in this time of prayer. And listen, the Holy Spirit can direct your prayers. If you'll let him, the Holy Spirit will guide you in your prayers. When you look at the Apostle Paul and his life and all the letters that he wrote, time and time and time again, I never cease to pray for you in my prayers. I never cease to think of you in my prayers. I believe, I'm heavily convicted that when Paul was because he's a man of prayer, when he was praying, God would put upon his heart, don't forget the church Ephesus. Don't forget about that brother that was struggling. Don't forget to pray for this person. That was the Spirit leading Paul. You know, and I think it's good to have our prayer list. And I tell you, there's a lot of people that I talk to on Sundays that I want to pray for. I want to pray. And I try to write it down, try to make note. And it's like, but it's the Holy Spirit during the week that reminds me, oh, it was so-and-so told me on Sunday that they were going for a job, and that's the Holy Spirit that tells me, pray for them. Because I don't have the capacity in myself to remember all the prayer needs in our body. And that's the reason we have prayer cards in the back, so that we can look at those. I would love to see piles of prayer requests and prayer needs from our church go into that box so that we can be as a church praying for each other. And prayer requests are not an indication of weakness, guys. Prayer requests, to me, are an opportunity for us to see God work. And that's how I look at it. I look at the struggles in my life as an opportunity for God to show himself, for God to show his might and his power. And we've got to make prayer a priority. See, you should be devoted to the act of prayer. And for that, we're going to go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. The early stages of the new church, the church that was birthed at Pentecost. And we're going to see a picture here of how important it was for the leaders to pray. But listen, it's also important for all of us to pray. It's Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." We'll come back to that. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, that guy right there, Nicanor, Timon, what is with these names? Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Do you see the power of prayer? Do you see the power of prayer? Again, verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. As leaders of a church, prayer has to be first and foremost. We have got to have time to pray. And when we talk about the church itself, the administration of the church, there's a lot of things that need to get done. There's a lot of tasks that have to happen. And if we're, myself, Pastor RJ, and the staff are continually working on the administrative stuff of the church, now we don't have time to pray. Now we don't have time to study the word. This is a conviction of my heart more and more as God continues to grow this church, that my job is to stay in prayer for you, for the church, and to study the word of God so that I can bring forth the word to you to encourage you to do your tasks in the body of Christ. Not necessarily in the church, but to encourage you to go out into the world and make a difference in your world. I mean, just this morning, I ran into a man who told me that he met somebody from our church, and they had a conversation with this person and invited them to come to church because they knew they were down, and they knew this ministry might be able to help them by bringing them to church. If I can say anything, that's church, guys. That's church, that you're out and about living your life, but your spiritual antennas are up, looking around going, who can we as a body of believers help? Who can we as agents of Christ infect their life and change their life? That is a blessing to me. And the more that we look at this opportunity for praying together and studying the word of God, the people that are bringing forth the word, the people that are leading home studies, the people that are doing ladies ministry, men's ministry, all the youth ministry, all these people that are studying the word, need people around them to help them administrate the ministry. And maybe you're called to that. Maybe you're called to be a help in ministry. Because the help that you bring will bring and force the word of God to go out and impact more hearts. You see it there in verse 7. Then the word of God spread and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. Why? Decently and in order. Everybody doing their part, doing their job, to allow the word of God to go out and change hearts and change lives. It was our priority for them. If a church ceases to depend on prayer, God will cease to bless that church. If prayer is not something that we hang upon, we are going to move from being operated by the Spirit, now we're going to operate by the flesh. We have to depend on prayer and the Holy Spirit and God and His voice if we want Him to bless this ministry exceedingly abundantly. And it's the same thing for your life. If you are not dependent upon prayer in your own life, you can't expect God to bless abundantly. He cares for us. He loves His kids. He's not going to harm us. But I feel like sometimes when I'm not praying, heaven goes silent. I'm not hearing. I'm not listening. Because I'm not spending time with the Lord. It hasn't become a priority. And that's what we need to realize. Prayer needs to be important. It needs to be the priority. It needs to be the number one priority. And that's what Paul says back in Timothy. He says, listen, first of all, before anything else, he's not saying build committees. He's not saying have a meeting. He's saying get together and pray. That's first. That's priority number one. So Paul encourages Timothy to make prayer a priority. And once prayer becomes a priority, then Paul moves to his next thing. And we see that as he moves on. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. The second thing about prayer is the variety of prayer. There's different kinds. There are different types of prayer. And we're going to look at these. He lists four of them here. And if you realize it or not, there's about seven different words in the New Testament that speak about prayer. And Paul uses four of them here. And we're going to look at these a little bit more closely. Number one, he talks about supplications. Supplication. Have you ever supplicated to the Lord? Anybody? Exactly. Most, if you will, and if not all of our prayer, are supplications to the Lord. Supplications are offering a request for a certain need. It's when we ask for God for things. God, bless my job, bless my home, care for my kids, meet this need, bring in the finances that I need, open up opportunities. For the most part, supplications are what we are asking God for. Give us something that we have need of. Notice it's needs, not just wants. It's needs in the body of Christ. And listen, of the six times that this word is used in the New Testament, every single one of them is coupled with the word prayer. Supplications and prayer. They're two different things, but they tie together. If you're taking notes, Acts chapter 1, verse 14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Ephesians 6 and 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. We see it time and time again. Philippians 4, 6, we'll see that in a minute. 1 Timothy 5, 5, we see it again. Now she who is a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. We see it again in Hebrews 5 and 7. Who in the days of his flesh, speaking of Christ, who he had offered up, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him being God who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Prayers, supplications. We all have needs. We all have needs and we all pray those prayers. God, meet our needs. This is the type of prayer that we're supposed to be praying, that God would meet our needs. Have you found God to be a God that meets your needs? Have you found God to be a God that meets the needs that you have? I am amazed as I look back upon my past, and though there were bumps, though there were times or valleys that we go through, God always provided. You think about the darkest time of your past, and you tell me that God wasn't there taking you through it, getting you through it. Maybe you're in the midst of it right now. And you've got to believe by faith that God will provide. He will show you the way out. He is the way out. It's those types of prayers that we need to be praying. Supplication. All of us have to pray that. Number two, the second one he lists here, are prayers. The most common word in all the Bible for the word prayer is prayers. Paul is emphasizing, listen, the sacredness of prayer. As I've said, when we pray, we need to realize who we're praying to. You know, Jesus modeled prayer in the Bible. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy be your name is basically what he's saying. When we come to God, we need to realize God is holy. God is righteous. God is perfect. And when we pray, we can't pray to him like he's our buddy. He is our buddy. He's our greatest friend. But he's also God, creator, all-powerful, all-knowing. And we need to come to him humbly before him. Oh, Father, you in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. You are so awesome, God. And to realize we heard but dust compared to him. It's having that mentality. Prayer, again, is an act of worship, not just expressing our wants and needs, but it should be a reverence in our hearts as we come to God. I mean, the great news is, listen, before Christ came, God's presence was inside the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest was able to go in to the Holy of Holies. But since Christ died for us, he's tore that, and now we can enter into the Holy of Holies because of what Christ has done for us upon the cross. And we can have an intimate conversation with the Holy God. It's a reverence, and it needs to be that. Have you ever seen those billboards, you know, what part of... I knew it wasn't leaving my head. Those God signs, those God bulletin boards, have you ever seen? They're God speak signs down in Florida. We saw them all the time. It says, what part of, gosh, it's right there.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. What part of thou shalt not did you not understand and assign God? And they did these. You know, it says you invited me to the wedding. Why don't you invite me to the marriage, God? I mean, these types of bulletin boards, if you've ever seen them, God Speaks. You can go online, godspeaks.com, and there. Well, there was this other God Speaks section that kind of birthed out of that, kind of more hip. It's like, yo, God, how you doing, bro? And it's like, to me, that took it just too far. You know, he's not our bro. He's our Lord. He's our master. Hey, it's great to know that we can have a personal relationship with the creator of the universe, but we need to realize he's the creator of the universe. And we need to come to him on bended knee. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we need to reverence him in that way. The next one is intercessions. Intercessions could be better translated petitions. It's the same word that Paul translates, or the Bible commentators translate into prayer in 1 Timothy 4:5, where it talks about praying for our food. Now, we're not going to intercede for our food, are we? No, we're asking God to bless it. And this word intercession or petition is the idea that we enjoy fellowship with God so much so that we have confidence in him. It's a confidence in God. We can't come to God hoping he'll answer our prayer, hoping he'll hear us, hoping. We need to come to God with confidence. Certainly, if we're going to intercede, the word that we use intercession for, if I'm going to intercede for you, I'm going to believe that God's going to do it in your life. And I don't know why it is, but it's a lot easier for me to believe God's going to do it in your life than he is going to do it in my own life. And when it comes to intercessions, we need to come to God and say, God, I know you're all powerful and there's nothing out of your control. And I'm asking you to do this. And I believe it's according to your will, because Christ said, anything you ask according to my will shall be done. Anything according to his will, anything in his name. That doesn't mean we have a blank, oh, let me get whatever I want, just put Jesus' name on the end of it. No. It's like, is Christ in it? Is Christ in the midst of this? Is this something that God would want in my life? And that's the truth of that. To know that we believe God to do that. Guys, we've got to believe it. We've got to believe that God wants his will to be done in and through our lives. And then we have to submit to it and obey it. That's the truth. Then finally, I love this one, and giving of thanks. I'm thinking maybe we're thankful when our prayers get answered the way we want. But are we thankful for God for just who he is? Have you ever gone to the Lord in prayer and just said, I'm just going to thank you? I'm not going to ask you for anything. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to say thank you for who you are. Thank you for the sun. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the snow. Thank you for anything. Thank God. Be thankful in your heart for the things that God has done for you. That's what David did in Psalm 103, if you'll go there with me now. Psalm 103, this is all this is, this whole thing is. Are you kidding me? That's already that time? Man, worship team goes way too long. Oh, we got to read this. This is so good. Psalm 103. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. This is good news. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen.
As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and in its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his words. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasures. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know how much it would bless God for us to spend time just thanking him? To truly just take time to say, God, you did this, thank you. God, you provided this, thank you. God, you are this, thank you. When I read this psalm, I'm reminded of the goodness of a God. He is not a God up there with a bat ready to hit us and punish us for making mistakes. He wants to pardon. All we have to do is obey him. All we have to do is follow his truths. Guys, this is the opportunity that we have to thank our God for how wonderful he is. And I bet there's a room full of people in here that can give testimony after testimony of the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God. Even in the midst of difficulty. Even in the midst of pain, maybe that you're struggling right now. Either physically or monetarily or the place that you're in. If you know God, you'll still thank him. You'll thank him for where you are, and then you'll thank him for where he's taking you. Because the good news is, he's taking us home. I was reminded this week from a pastor on the radio, we don't live here. This is not our residence. Don't even begin to plant roots in here. Man, we are going to go home, and all of this is going to fall away by the wayside. None of it's going to matter. Once we're in the presence of God, man, we're going to be rich. We're going to be healthy. We're going to be happy. Whew, that's good news. And I'm thankful for that truth. And next week, we'll look at the last point. I'm going to give it to you, though, is the objects of our prayer. The objects of our prayer. He talks about all men. There's nobody that doesn't need prayer. Even those, listen, that are causing you the most trouble. Even those that are causing you the most pain. I am thankful for the men and women in my life that didn't give up praying for me. Because if we will pray, God will move. No prayer, no power. Much prayer, much power. Man, God can change your manager, your boss, your spouse, your kids. But most importantly, he can change you. And that's what he wants to do. Will you let him? We need prayer. Let's pray for each other. And as we enter into this time of communion, let's bring those supplications to God. Let's ask him and let's be thankful to him for all that he has done, all that he's doing, and all that he will continue to do. Amen.